He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the weekly Week in Review edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 22 years in the trenches of managing money for the public money manager, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst, longtime veteran of the industry. Barry, there's a storm bearing down on the East Coast. We're down here in South Carolina where it's not too bad, but there's also been a storm bearing down on the NASDAQ in particular here recently.
Yeah, in the form of interest rates, right?
Exactly. And, you know, what worked in 2020 stopped working about a year ago when we had that first jolt in interest rates that went higher. And then you had the wave of Delta come through, and people parked money in the bond market once again, rode that thing out, and that kept rates down. But now all of a sudden, you know, these viruses seem to be passing through. Maybe we'll have a big long spate of free sailing, clear sailing from the viruses. And that puts a big capital I on that inflation picture, I think, and it also gets the Fed really, you know, set. They've got their moves in place that they're going to make them, and we're now in what I consider to be a rising interest rate environment, which is a new paradigm that we haven't seen for a couple of decades. But the results, we're already seeing the high PE, high beta, long duration stocks are getting clocked, while the low PE, short duration stocks are the place to be in 2022. We're going to develop this theme throughout today's show. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, a veteran of the 2000 dot-com bubble sell-off. I was managing money back then. I was an analyst writing up research reports back then. And we got Barry Kite here with us today. We're from Gunderson Capital Management. I'm Bill Gunderson, managed money now for 22 years, been through a lot of cycles, have clients all across America, and having been through many cycles, I think has been very, very beneficial for me. That's a real education in the market, on the front line, in the trenches, every single day, watching the markets trade. Barry, let's just review this past week really quickly. The two big events from the big macro standpoint, can you just give us a quick review of what went on with the CPI and the PPI this past week?
Yeah, so the biggest reports from economically that we had our eyes on, of course, were the CPI and PPI, which are consumer price index in terms of inflation for consumers, and then the PPI being essentially a gauge of inflation for producers, those that actually sell goods to us as consumers. And you know, his CPI came in you know, right as expected, 7% for the year, which is the highest number. You've probably seen a lot of the headlines by now, but highest number since 1982. And you know, we can all remember those days. Some of us can remember those days in terms of inflation and in what we were facing. Coming out, you know, coming off of the Carter years, or at the end of the Carter years. And then also on the PPI, you know, producer price index was the highest since it's been recorded, and it's, you know, been in existence since 2010. And so that's the worry there, is at some point, right, those producer price prices kind of flow through to us in the form of higher prices. And that's, you know, that's kind of been, you know, just continues to confirm that this inflation that we're seeing isn't transitory. So
yeah, and those that producer price index eventually ends up in our shopping cart in the form of ribeye steaks and you know, cheeses and grain and bread and cereal. Just about everything across the board is moving, and of course, the biggest jump we've seen year over year has been in gasoline, which we feel, you know, depending on your driving habits, some people feel it daily, you know, especially if they're in a business that is transportation intensive. But just filling your car, going back and forth to work or taking the kids to school or whatnot, we feel that one all the time. And what was the gasoline was up 50% year over year, I think?
Yeah,
somewhere.
I think I think gas, I want to say it was roughly around 44% year over year. And fuel, and then heat, you know, heating fuel or natural gas, if you will, I think was up right around 29%, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and you know, the energy prices in Europe just continue. They're out of control. I saw another huge jump in France, and, you know, Macron is up for re-election, I guess, fairly soon. He's not looking too good. He's done a lot of things that have caused, in fact, electricity rates in France right now up 30%. Okay, that's heating your home. And you also have the huge spike in natural gas prices over there as Putin plays around with the pipeline and the supplies to Europe, trying to get his way to keep the Ukraine out of NATO. So there's a lot of forces going on in the world right now. And boy, does it impact your portfolios. I don't care if you have a 401k. I don't care if you have an IRA. I don't care if you've inherited an IRA or if you've got a Roth, if you've got college funds, if you've got, you know, bond funds or individual bonds. It's all the market, the economy. Well, the market is turning upside down because we have a new paradigm that we have not seen now for over two decades. That's called a rising interest rate environment. What does that mean for your investments? Well, Barry, let's go back to 2000 for a moment. I was there in the year 2000, and I saw the dot-com bubble. I saw it growing and growing and growing and growing until March of 2000 when it burst. And that one, that bursting of the bubble was caused by three things: valuation, valuation, valuation. Okay, those stocks were so overvalued. You know, when you use any measure of valuation, whether it's price to earnings, price to sales ratios, price to book value, PEG ratios, and eventually that whole thing just imploded because a lot of those stocks were missing the E in price to earnings. They had no earnings. And in addition to that, they were also very long duration stocks. It was hopeful that someday they would be profitable, and many of them never ever made it to profitability. They're not even around anymore. But there was a fervor in the market in the year 2000 like I never saw before. You know, I was getting 400, 500 people to my workshops. Everybody wanted in on the gold rush. And I would look at the parking lot after I would do a workshop, and it was full of work trucks and, you know, barbers and painters and plumbers and gardeners. Everybody wanted in. People were quitting their jobs to become day traders, and then kerplat. Oh, boy, did it get ugly there. The NASDAQ got to 5,000 in March. It took 10 years, 12 years, something like that, to get back to that level. Now, let's flash forward to what occurred in 2020. Couple things, three or four things all converged at one time. We had a virus called Omicron come ashore, not Omicron, COVID come ashore, and that turned the world upside down. People were at home. They were receiving big checks from the government. They had a lot of time on their hand. And what were they doing a lot with that money, Barry, while they were sitting at home with nothing to do?
Lots of trading.
Lots of trading, speculating, Robinhood, cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin
Coinbase,
electric vehicle stocks.
SPACs, speculating.
SPACs, yeah. And you know what? All of these public companies also took advantage of loose money provided by the Fed, people with time on their hands and extra money to invest or speculate, I would say. And you have kind of all of these new technologies that are just, you know, they're out there on the horizon, but they're going to take a while to develop, lithium stocks and whatnot. And that stuff went ballistic in the year 2020. And, of course, we took advantage of that in 2020. That was the place to be. And as we head into our first break, this is now 2022. Those stocks came to a sudden halt last February, 1 year ago. And I've always used the ARK Fund as a proxy for those stocks. You just look at how the ARK Fund has done since February. What changed the whole atmosphere? And where are we now? And what is going to flourish in 2022? The market is upside down. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of today's Week in Review. That's the Best Stocks Now show. We do a show Monday through Friday live every single day. And you can find it out there on the podcast sites. We upload that show every day to, you know, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, etc. And also, you know, we do it live at 10 a.m. If you go to our website, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, you can also listen to the show live, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, or you can listen to it at your leisure, while you're on the treadmill or whatever, listen at your leisure to the podcast, which is about 45 minutes or so long, 40 minutes, something like that. Now, we also, I've written a newsletter for the last 22 years about the stock market, and you know, we've been in a bull market for the last 12 years now. It started in 2009 when earnings hit $60 per share for the S&P 500. They finally bottomed out after the crash of 07-08, which was caused by a bubble in the mortgage and in the housing market and bad loans made by the banks. But, you know, there was an appetite for more higher rates and the mortgage loans, and especially subprime loans. They were selling those like hotcakes, giving them out like hotcakes. It did not end well, 53% whacking that the S&P 500 took. But since 2009, the market's been going up. We've been in a bull. We're still in a bull, 12 years now. Why? Because this year we're going to make about $207 per share in earnings, S&P 500. It's going to be a record. Even despite COVID and all the other things, we've gone from $60 a share in earnings in 2009 to around $207 in earnings this year, when all the beans are counted on this current earnings season that we're now in. And this market can continue to go higher if those earnings on the S&P 500 continue to go higher. That's why those forecasts are so important. Well, we put out our forecast every week in the newsletter. You know, I put my neck on the line. I write the Best Stocks Now newsletter, which not only has our macro forecast, which has been right since 2009, but I also show you the portfolios. I manage five portfolios for folks. And I show you what we currently own and what we've been buying and selling, which is a lot different from the year 2020. Now, my newsletter only goes out to subscribers that subscribe to my newsletter and my live trading alerts, or to my clients, my money management, fee-based money management clients. But I offer two free weeks, especially at a time like this where you've got the market turning upside down. You've got extreme volatility. What worked in 2020 is the worst place to be in 2022. It is absolutely vital to be in the best areas of the market, because we've had a paradigm shift from a interest rate environment that kept going lower to all of a sudden a major pivot point. That's a seminal change that you have to adjust for in your portfolio. We offer 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Now, Barry is a chartered financial analyst. He understands how the discount rate works, how interest rates work, how P.E. ratios work. That's his specialty. Barry, what is in harm's way? That storm that's hitting the going to hit the East Coast has already hit much of the market, but it's only just begun. What is in harm's way right now in a rising interest rate environment?
Well, think of those companies where a majority of their future value or future earnings, right, are off into the future, right? So if you've got I always use an example of Procter and Gamble, right? We're all buying Tide and, all our other consumer staples right at the grocery store on a daily basis. So they're earning money, right, essentially every day currently. That'd be considered what we call a short duration stock, meaning you've got that money in hand. If we think of, think of some company
Rivian. Rivian or Lucid Motors?
Yeah, Rivian or a flying taxi company, right?
There we go.
Something that's automated cars, right, self-driving cars. A lot of that stuff is often, into the distant future, right? How distant, who knows, but it's into the future. And so as interest rates rise, what we call long duration stocks just means that those income streams off into the future are worth less in today's dollars, in a market, in an environment where you have interest rates going up. Because we'd rather have the money in hand. We could do something with it. We could earn interest on it now, right? Versus having it, 5 years from now. The other thing is most of those companies, need funding between now and, say, 5 years when they get the taxi off the ground, if you will, right? And so they're actually going to have borrowing cost between this, say, because they're going to lose money, for 5 years. And so their cost of capital is actually increasing as interest rates go up. So they're kind of, their candle is being burnt, at both ends. Ooh. From that perspective.
And, the interesting part of all of this, in 2020, those were the best performing stocks. With people working from home, the work from home stocks, Zoom Technology, Peloton, those types of stocks were just flying, and everybody was speculating and in all of these new ideas that are out there on the horizon, gene editing, robo-taxis. You could go on and on and on with all of this. Everybody was speculating. That was the place to be, okay, in 2020. And many of us rode that to some big gains. We did, too. We also write for Seeking Alpha every week, pretty much. And you can go back and look at the articles we were writing back in 2020, especially in March of 2020, when I said, you got to go all in this market right now. It's already priced in the COVID pandemic, and it's looking ahead a couple of years, and we were right. The market went on to double from there. But now this is 2022. Those stocks, those work-from-home speculative stocks, came to a screeching halt in February of last year when we had a sudden rise in interest rates of about 75 basis points. I don't know what caused it. A sell-off in the bond market usually is what causes that. And those stocks were done at that point. Yet many money managers, including the ARK funds, they continue to buy those stocks. And those stocks have just been hammered. I was looking at Roku today, which was a $450 stock in its heyday. That stock's $182 right now. So, a lot of people rode those things to big gains, but they didn't know that when those interest rates started to turn around, it was time to flee the long duration stocks. And it's only getting worse because now you've got the Fed ready to drop the hammer on interest rates, maybe 4 rate hikes going forward. The long duration stocks, the storm is here. It started last February. And the bond market, that's the wrong place to be. High PE, long duration, high price to sales ratio. When we come back, we're going to cross the street to the sunny side of the street. What thrives, what flourishes in a rising interest rate environment that we're now in. Welcome back to today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review, which it's been a crazy year so far in the stock market with kind of, I call it the tale of two markets, Barry. The one side of the street where you've got your long duration stocks and bonds that are out there on the frontier and from a time horizon. In a rising interest rate environment, they're very much in harm's way, and I think there's a lot further damage coming to those stocks, despite being the leaders, you know, back in 2020. And on the sunny side of the street, you have sectors that haven't been in favor for a long, long time. You know, I would say that the average millennial, the average Gen Xer has never invested in a bank stock. Never invested in an insurance stock, never invested in an oil and gas stock or a copper miner. Yet those are the places to be invested in here in 2022 because they benefit, they have the wind at their back in a rising interest rate environment while the long duration high PE mini tech stocks have the wind in their face in a rising interest rate environment. I know that doesn't sound as sexy and as crazy and as enticing as Lucid Motors and Dogecoin and you know, all their stable coins and all the rest, but you know what? This is a different market. I've seen many cycles come and go during my 22 years as a professional money manager. I think, Barry, job number one, it's my duty to keep people out of harm's way. You know, I'm responsible. I'm a fiduciary. We both have fiduciary responsibilities to protect clients. And, you know, I see a lot of similarities here, especially in 2020, that I saw back in the year 2000. Warning signs, yellow flags, which turned to red flags. A lot of it's been created by the Fed, you know, and a lot of it's been created by too much money sloshing around. Doesn't matter what's created it. It's the environment that we're in now that we have to deal with. And it is here now. The environment has changed. And over there on that sunny side of the street, which where we're going to go next, it's all you have to do. You know, I invented a ranking system called the beststocksnowapp.com many years ago for my own use as a professional money manager. But I realize that there's a lot of do-it-yourself investors out there these days, more than ever, with all the tools that are available to them. So I also offer a lot of products and subscriptions to try to help the do-it-yourselfer. Job number one, keep you out and warn you of the storms that are coming. And that storm right now, right at the center of that storm, you can look at the transformational, long-duration stocks, fintech, space exploration, you know, electric vehicles, lithium. That stuff's all going to come to pass at some point in time, but in a rising interest rate environment, it's not a good place to be. That stuff, the valuations get hit, like Barry was talking about with the discount rates that we use to value assets. Now, come back over to the sunny side of the street. A lot of those stocks, I'm just going to use two stocks here as an illustration. I hate to pick on Tesla. But I know it's a very popular stock. We still own a little bit of Tesla. But the P.E. ratio on Tesla is currently 335 times earnings. That means if you bought it privately from Elon Musk, of course you'd be paying $1 trillion for his franchise, it'd take you 335 years via earnings to get your money back. Now, obviously, if the company is growing, that time frame would be shortened. But still, the common denominator here that we look at stocks is the P.E. ratio of 334. Now, Barry, let's cross the street, a much more boring stock, but also in the EV business, a company that has big EV plans has a lot of cars already rolling off the assembly line and the ability to mass produce them. Ford's P.E., I'm going to look at the forward P.E. ratio because it's even more telling, is 12.7. Now let's compare apples to apples. Tesla's forward PE is 118. Okay, what does better? 118 PE ratio, Barry, which is literally the current price of Tesla divided by next year's earnings estimates. Do the same thing to Ford. The current price of Ford, symbol F, divided by next year's earnings estimates. In a rising interest rate environment, do you want to own a P.E. of 118 or 12?
Give me,
is there a choice?
How many times does 12 go into 118?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking in my head.
Okay.
That's like 10 times.
Now, you know, I'm not knocking Tesla at all, but I'm just saying, now let's just look at another ratio. Price to sales on Tesla is 22 times sales. Take you just 22 years of receipts from the sales, you know, let alone the profit. The price to sales ratio on Ford is less than 1.74. Now, I'm not saying, sell the farm and buy Ford stock. I'm giving you an illustration. There are many, many stocks in the market today that have those attributes that Ford has. Okay, let's look at some of those. P.E. ratio, very common valuation ratio that every stock has as long as it has earnings. You don't want to be buying 57 times earnings stocks or 65 times earnings stocks. That's what happened in the year 2000. I remember a lot of 200 and 300 multiples in the year 2000 that those stocks went down 90% to 98%, many of them aren't even around anymore. Valuation does matter. I've also learned that lesson during my 22 years in the business. So right now, you want to focus in areas of the market. So where are the clusters of low PE, low price to sales stocks? Well, you're going to find them in non-sexy sectors, but they're short-term in duration, consumer staples, like you mentioned with Procter & Gamble. But even more so, the banks, I think they're on the front lines of being a beneficiary of rising interest rates. I heard Jamie Dimon say it the other day. I think that the oil and gas stocks have a couple things going for them right now. Many of them have low P.E. ratios, number one. Number two, many of them pay huge dividend yields, like BP, ExxonMobil, in the 5 to 6% range. That also makes them short duration in nature. And number three, I mean, the actions that we're taking, whether you're for it or against it, it's very bullish for oil prices going higher. We are cutting back. We are making it hard to drill for new oil. We're going back to being more and more dependent upon foreign oil. And the transition from fossil fuels to, renewable energy is a good one, but it's going to take a long time. Oil is not going away anytime soon. So you have a very bullish kind of mix there for not only oil, but you can get into copper with Freeport-McMoRan and other natural resources that are in tight supply as we come off of this pandemic and maybe headed now into an endemic. Insurance stocks do very well, like AIG and stocks like that in a rising interest rate environment. Now, real quickly, Barry, people have choices in their 401ks, and usually it involves stocks and bonds. You want to be very careful. In fact, most people have a choice. You want large cap growth or large cap value, small cap growth, small cap value. We're talking about value here. That's the low PE side of the street. Right now, the value funds, which have trailed the growth funds for many years, would you agree that 401k people should be looking at the value side of the growth equation and avoiding the long duration and being very, very careful with bond funds right now? What do you say?
Yeah, certainly. Then that's kind of been the bent that we've used. You know, this time of year we get a lot of questions from clients in terms of, hey, how should I reposition my 401k for 2022? Here's how I'm positioned. You know, what does they'll shoot over their menu of choices and give them some thoughts on that. And yeah, it's certainly more geared towards your large cap stocks. And in primarily large cap value, certainly.
And I would also add, I wouldn't go outside of the United States with what's going on in China and Latin America. I would just stay right in the U.S. Now, we have a section in the newsletter on 401ks and what we recommend nowadays with allocations. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back with the big picture.
This is Bill.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, week in review. Well, the good news is we're still in a bull market that began in 2009. And while earnings have gone from $60 per share for the S&P 500 aggregate in 2009, we're going to make about $207 per share. And they've been going up every year, those earnings have, except for the COVID year. And that's been what's leading the market higher. You know, a lot of people, they don't understand why the market goes up and, you know, why the market gets into a bull market and why the market then turns around and gets into a bear market. Well, obviously, the bear market's going to occur when those earnings finally peak. They've been going up for 12 years. They're going to peak and start to decline. The expectations are going to start to decline. That's going to be a big yellow flag. That's what we're watching for with our macro outlook. You have to begin with the macro outlook and have your macro outlook right. I talked to a guy last night, Barry, sat next to me. I went to a meeting to see some speakers last night, very interesting, and he's missed the entire 2009 till today bull market because he called it wrong, you know, and he didn't understand, you know. I said, well, you know, earnings have been going up every year for the last 12 years, and indexes and stocks follow that rise in earnings. It's pretty simple. I said, I know. You know, and he was an older guy, a little older than I am, retired. But anyways, that's been what's driving the bull. And the bull can continue. It can continue if those earnings for the S&P 500 continue to rise next year and the following year and the year after that. That's my macro outlook that I publish every Friday, Saturday in my weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter. The Best Stocks Now newsletter is basically, I'm the one that benefits the most from it because I have to go down all these different tributaries and alleyways of the market and the economy and the global things going on around the world to make sure I'm in the right areas of the market with my clients and not in the and subscribers and not in the wrong areas of the market, because boy, there's some really bad neighborhoods right now in the market that are treacherous. But the good news is we're still in a bull. I just don't think it's going to be the tech stocks that lead the bull, that lead the charge like they have for the last many years. In fact, Barry, do you know that last year the S&P 500 for the first time in many years did better than the NASDAQ?
Okay. Right, it's been a long time.
A long time. And to me, I think for sure this year, well, I mean, if you just looked at where we're at in the first couple weeks of 2022, the NASDAQ's been getting clobbered. And the Dow has done much better. And now the Dow, leans much more towards value, low PE, even though there are some high PE stocks in there these days. You still got, you know, the JP Morgans of the world and some of these oil stocks that are trading in the low teens with PE. You don't have any of that hardly in the NASDAQ. The PE ratio of the NASDAQ is much higher than the Dow, and therein the Dow has a big advantage in 2022 over the NASDAQ. Versus the Dow over the NASDAQ because of the environment we're in. Rising interest rates, okay? That is a paradigm shift that really changes investing. Now, when I go back to 2020 or to the year 2000 when the NASDAQ went down 80%, I saw many people ride it all the way into the ground because they failed to admit they were wrong. They thought that, you know, these stocks still would come back someday, that, you know, all of these wannabes would become the actual deal, when in reality many of them aren't even around today. And well, I see the same.
And that's the other side of the coin, you know, I think in terms of, you know, how we're talking about, okay, these long-duration stocks, number one, right, have interest rate headwinds.
Yep.
You know, which are mathematically apparent, right? That's simple. But also, there's the risk of speculation, right? We don't know if, you know, Rivian's going to make the best electric truck, right? We don't know if, you know, flying taxis are going to take off. There's a lot of, one of the big problems, of course, and, you know, short of the fact they didn't have earnings in the dot-com bubble was, you know, the disruption, not all companies are going to survive, right? Some,
no.
You know, one brand is going to end up taking most market share versus another. And so not only do you have these interest rate headwinds, number one, but you also have the risk of, you know, the company or the product, right, execution risk.
Whether they make it or not. You know,
right.
Amazon.com is one of the few dot-com stocks that actually made it and was the kingpin when there were all these pretenders to the throne. It's going to be the same way now. But
and it wasn't
now,
a smooth ride. It wasn't
no.
a smooth ride from them. It wasn't a smooth ride for Tesla, right? I mean, if we go back
no.
in history, you know, your chances of failure are much higher than your chances
yes.
of success, especially in disruptive industries.
I think in closing, for now, if I was an investor, I would just set all those stocks aside for a later day. You know, who knows when interest rates will start to go down again. I don't see that happening anytime soon. I see us in a rising interest rate environment. You want to be looking at sectors that by nature are low PE ratios, not as volatile, lower betas. Short in duration, big dividend yields, that's the place to be now. Or you can stubbornly hold on to the ARK fund type stocks, the Teladocs, the Etsy's, the Zoom Infos, the Pelotons of the world, and continue to get clobbered. Okay, I saw it in 2000. I think it's going to be a very similar outcome this time around. Best New Year's resolution you can make right now is getting a little review of where you're currently invested. Are you in harm's way? You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. It's an education in itself every week, and the macro outlook, what we own now versus what we owned in 2020, completely different. You can listen to our radio show daily at GundersonCapital.com. We also had the biggest article this week on Seeking Alpha on Wednesday about this whole dynamic, and we'll have another new article coming out for this big long weekend. Just go to Bill Gunderson there on Seeking Alpha, and you can see all of our articles and our track record. We're one of the top-ranked writers, bloggers on that site. Get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call for a review of your portfolio, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Get out of harm's way and get over to the sunny side of the street. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.